And welcome back. For boxing fans, the story of Muhammad Ali begins when he won the gold medal in the 1960 Olympics. Then he went on to become heavyweight champion of the world. Then he was known as Cassius Clay. He later became a member of the Muslim faith, changed his name, and changed the way Americans looked at the Vietnam War when he became a conscientious objector. But some of his biggest battles took place before his Olympic victory, when he was a young man and known as Cassius Clay. That part of his story is told in a new Metro Theater Company play that opens in St. Louis next week. It's titled, And in This Corner, Cassius Clay by playwright Idris Goodwin. Joining me in studio are Trigny Morgan. He plays Clay in the production. Julia Flood is Metro Theater Company's artistic director. Thanks so much for being with us. Nice to see you.
Yes, nice to see you too.
Trigny, congratulations on snagging a prime role. This has got to be a great thrill for you.
Thank you so much. It is a great thrill. It's honestly the opportunity of a lifetime. I'm just very excited to be a part of it and to have the opportunity to depict Cassius Clay's story.
And depicting a very young man, I mean, did you know very much about Cassius Clay before he became Muhammad Ali?
I knew of him. I knew that he was one of the best boxers in the world, and that he still is.
Oh,
and
yeah.
But I didn't know much about him. I looked up to my brothers a lot growing up, and they were much into the Mike Tyson phase. Uh-huh. So I didn't know, like, I didn't see any of his fights or anything like that. But I always carried a poster of him around in college because I just loved who he was as a person. It's funny that I can do this now.
In the play, do you do any boxing?
Yes. We have a couple fights, a total of three fights that occur in the play. And they are really, really well choreographed, and they look awesome. And people have been, you know, loving them so far. So
let me turn to Julia now for that, because this has got to be difficult, choreographing boxing for a stage play.
Yeah, and until I decided to do this play, I have to confess I didn't know too much about boxing. But one of the lucky things is that I was able to bring in a brilliant fight choreographer. Mm-hmm. His name is Drew Frazier, and he has done fights all over the country. And he came in to work on this one, and he had worked with the playwright and Stage One in Louisville, Kentucky, when they developed this play with Idris Goodwin and worked with the Muhammad Ali Center to make the play happen. So he came in with wonderful knowledge of both boxing and fight choreography, because everything is, it's almost like having a huge dance number, because every move is choreographed. And we've also worked with a boxing gym here in St. Louis, St. Louis All City Boxing. They train young boxers in the same way that Cassius was trained as a kid, starting at age 8. So the actors went in and worked with them and learned the basics the same way that the kids learned the basics.
So. How difficult training has it been for you to go through all of this? This is quite different, obviously.
Oh, yes, yeah, definitely different. It was more of a physical challenge than it was a psychological challenge for me, because my process, this is a different process that I usually take. I've never had to, like, learn so many lines and learn all this blocking, and, you know, and still learn
hard
fight choreography. I'm like, man, it put a whole nother, like, level to it. But I actually got the hang of it really fast, and I was just really thankful to have Drew there and to have all the coaches at All City help me and, like, really and help me embody the essence of Ali and Cassius Clay. So.
Who was Cassius fighting, that is, during the course of the play? Obviously, this takes him up before to the Olympic gold medal, I guess, correct? And he had the really big fights, the ones we all know about after that.
Right.
So are these kind of no-names that you're fighting on stage?
Well, kind of. One of them was somebody from his actual life. Corky Baker was kind of like a bully. It was actually based off actual character, correct?
Yeah.
A bully in his neighborhood that he fights, that he just stood up to, and he was just tired of him bullying him and his friends, and he actually just took a stand and he said, you know what, I'm going to challenge you. Next week we get in the ring, you fight me, and we'll see what happens. So, and it happened, and he beat Corky Baker, and he never messed with him again. And they became really good friends after that, actually.
That's a bit of a spoiler alert there, that he beats the bully.
He beat just about everybody as far as
true.
I
mean,
true.
I'm sure everybody's expecting that.
And we do see part of the Olympic fight that's one of the mm-hmm. fights that we see is him winning the gold medal. So we see part of that on stage against Ziggy Petrikowski mm-hmm. in the 1960 Rome Olympics.
Oh, I thought you were suggesting that you had some sort of visual there or video or something showing
the
actual fight.
We do have mm-hmm. little video clips, but we don't show the actual fight. We depict the fight on stage. Yeah.
You know, this Cassius Clay Muhammad Ali was really quite a guy. I think at one point, and when he was well established, he was the most recognizable person in the world.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. He couldn't go anywhere without people. Anywhere. I mean, Africa, Asia, you name it. He couldn't go.
He was the most famous human being on the planet at one point. Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. You know, I wonder what sort of a challenge that represents for the actor, playing someone like that. Someone, you know, who's still fresh in the minds of so many people.
It definitely puts a little bit of pressure on me because they're such big shoes to fill. But I feel like depicting his early stage is a really, really great opportunity because a lot of people don't know it. A lot of people know about him, like, going to the Olympics and about him being drafted into the Vietnam War. Like, that's the earliest stage that they know of Muhammad Ali. So to know, like, where he actually started his career and where he got his inspiration to box and about Joe Martin and about his family and about just his community and how that affected him as a human being and how that encouraged him to start boxing is a story that a lot of people don't know.
He really transcended boxing in many ways. I lived overseas when he was at his prime. Mm. Used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to listen to the fights, not to watch him because you couldn't, to listen to him because it was Cassius Clay and later, of course, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was like, Julia, what was life like for young Cassius Clay in Louisville as he was growing up?
Yeah, the play tells the story of his life from age 11 through age 22. So we actually take it a little bit beyond the Olympics. And the play ends as he's about to go into the ring to fight Sonny Liston.
St. Louis's own, Sonny Liston from St. Louis.
So, and everybody, as we all know, after Sonny Liston, he was on the map in a huge way. He grew up, Louisville was not Mississippi or Alabama, but it still was Jim Crow South. Mm-hmm. And we see in the play the city that's divided down the middle, where the black and white do not mix. And it's been interesting because this week we've had school audiences. We open to the public next weekend on the 12th, but we've already had students seeing the play. Mm-hmm. And we asked them after the production, what similarities do you see between 1950s, 1960s Louisville and today? And it's been very interesting, the kind of feedback we're getting. We see sit-ins. We see a lot of time. We see him come back from the Olympics with a gold medal and the mayor saying, this is your key to the city of Louisville. And then he still can't go into the diner in his own neighborhood and have a burger because it's serving whites only. So it's a very interesting look at what life was then like for a young man growing up and how it is today.
Not a very unusual story, certainly, given given those years. Trigny, what did you learn about that life, about the Jim Crow world as you're preparing for this role?
What I learned most is I had no idea how much of a pep talk the family had to give the children about, like, what was happening in the world during that time. And there's a scene where Cassius Clay, where the Emmett Till story, like, is happening, and they're reading a newspaper, and they're finding out what's happening. They finally go home, and they see that their mom is reading a newspaper. And me and my brother, we're just embracing our mom, and she's telling us, like, I'm sorry the world is like this. I don't really know what this is about. And we're asking questions about it, and she's just like, you know, I can't exactly tell you why this is happening, but, you know, I'm just going to pray on it, and I hope that you guys will too. And it just really made me think, like, wow, a lot of families probably had to do this, like, really had to sit with their children, explain to them, like, racism is a real thing. Don't look at these white folk when they're walking down the street. Like, make sure you keep your head down. There's going to be black and white places only, so that's just the way it is. There's nothing we can do about it, and that's just – and it's just really sad that, you know, that had to happen. Kids mm-hmm. had to really be raised in that kind of way.
Emmett Till, of course, was the Chicago youngster who was murdered in Mississippi.
And he was an eighth grade student, 14 years old, same age as Cassius Clay at the time of the play.
This was in the early 50s, and it really was probably one of the things that helped launch the civil rights movement in the years that were to come. Julia, there is I guess I can put it this way, a kind of a Ferguson component to all of this, because you indicated earlier that there's a lot of dots that can be connected between then and now.
Exactly.
Was the playwright conscious of this, do you think?
I'm not sure if – I know Idris Goodwin is a voice that is very engaged into issues like the issues that have been raised in Ferguson. I think that when he was writing this, it was for a theater in Louisville. It was connected to the Ali Center. And I think it was mostly about telling a hometown story. But I think the wonderful thing about his writing is that it transcended the hometown story and is really a story for all of us today. When I read the play, I had a colleague who had seen the play in Louisville. It was just a year ago. This is the second production of this play. And she sent me a copy of the script and said, you must read this play. And I read the play and I really got goosebumps because I thought there were so many things about this play that even though they took place 50 or 60 years ago, would really resonate with the youth of our community, and not just the youth, our entire community, in terms of what has been happening in the aftermath of the killing of Michael Brown and the events in Ferguson thereafter, and then nationally, and the kind of movement that has started around that. And the scene that Trigny was talking about, the scene where his mother hugs him and his younger brother and says, I'm not going to let anything happen to you. I think that scene has been happening in our community as well. I think the young people who are watching this are saying, okay, this happened 50 years ago, but I can really identify with those young people and them trying to figure out how to move forward and how to have a positive impact in the world, how to take the potential that somebody like Cassius Clay had, take that potential and really rise to the occasion and become the man that he became. So that, and that's one of the things I loved about Idris's play, is that the young people who see it, they get that this is the civil rights movement. They get what we're hearing in their feedback is that they're getting that this connects to their community now, but it leaves them inspired and it leaves them energized and I hope leaves them feeling like they want to make connections to make the place they live a better place.
Trigny, you get that feeling? Do you connect those dots between your story, the story that you're telling on stage, and what's been going on in the last year and a half?
Oh, absolutely. And I think they both just connect very well. And the students and all the children that's coming there, and they see that as well. And it's beautiful that they're making those connections, and that once we have the questionnaire, we have like a question and answer afterwards, and the questions that they ask are awesome because they're really involved and engaged in the play, and they're really making connections to their current life, and we can all see that. And that's what it's for, is just to get them all thinking and just to bring awareness that this has been going on for a very long time, and a lot of things have changed, and some things haven't, unfortunately.
We also have this was one question that a young person asked, and it was somebody from one of the Ferguson middle schools. And she asked a question. At first, I didn't understand what she was asking, but then Phil Dixon, who plays Cassius Sr., he repeated it back and said, I think what she's asking is, as actors, is it hard to say some of these things to each other? Mm-hmm. We have 8 African-American actors in the play and 3 white actors. And she was asking whether we have a hard time saying, whether the actors have awesome a hard question. Time talking this way to each other. And so Phil was wonderful and explained to her that we're professionals, we come together and the process, we read the play, we talk about the issues underlying it. And by the time we get on stage, the actors all trust each other and know that we're trying everything we can to be able to tell this story truthfully, and that we know the actors are professionals and they're friends, and they don't there's no hatred or animosity there, but there is a real dedication to making this story truthful for those young people.
No problem for you, Trini, getting into that part of the story.
Absolutely not. I'm just trying to depict the story and make sure that everybody understands that it's all we're trying to do. And be safe with one another and just talk to one another before and after the show just to make sure we're all good. And, you know, just checking in on one another.
And we do check in, too, with the young people about something that I did not know before we started this production is that Muhammad Ali's first coach, the man who introduced him to boxing at age 12, was a white police officer in Louisville.
I never knew that.
No, neither of us did, I don't think, named Joe Martin. And that he brought young people, black and white, into the gym to work out where the cops worked out, and is really the one who ignited the spark that would lead to him becoming the Muhammad Ali he became. And I ask some of the young people after the show what they expected when they saw a white police officer walk on stage, and were they surprised? And it's just a really interesting conversation to have about the flip side of what expectations we might have when we see someone just based on the way they look.
These conversations you have after the performance, I've seen reference to the Cassius Project. Is that what this is all about?
Yes. The Cassius Project is even larger than that, because at the public performances, we're going to have many events that involve partners and others doing. There'll be a series of panel discussions. There's also links on our website, which is CassiusProject.com, that are to other people in St. Louis area and wider afield doing this kind of work that maybe have nothing to do with the play. And we have Firecracker Press has been doing work with making looked like boxing posters. And people will have the opportunity to make their own little press.
I think I'm going to be involved in one of those post
productions. Yes, you are.
On Sunday the 14th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm looking forward to that and looking forward certainly to seeing the production.
And that will be an interesting discussion, because we're going to have activists from the 60s and activists from today. So
I know Percy Green has been invited. I hope he's going to be there.
I hope so too.
He had played a big role here. You know, one of the things, Trini, getting back to the production, that as I remember watching the Cassius Clay story before the Olympics, that he was actually owned by a syndicate at one time. You get into that at all in this production? In other words, a bunch of white investors put up money to boost him along, to help him along, to ultimately get to the Olympics. That's not dealt with at all in the story.
No, not necessarily. It pretty much just depicts Joe Martin, who was training him and encouraged him to join the Olympics, to get involved in the Olympics, because for a minute, Cassius Clay was a little nervous about going to Rome because of the plane and about flying in the air, because he didn't want to go. He was scared. He thought that he was actually going to die because Buddy Holly and another rock star had passed away in a plane crash.
The big thumper was the
thing. Yeah, he was really, really nervous about it. So, yeah, Joe Martin pretty much encouraged him to go because he had won so many titles. He's like, this is the last thing. Once you win this gold medal, you're going to become pro. Like, there's nothing else for you to win.
Right.
So, that's pretty much what we see in a play, though.
Guessing that Cassius might bristle a little about saying he was being owned by that syndicate, because there was a white group of investors who made it possible for him to do these things. But that was a time also, I think, you know, Don, that there was also a lot of mob activity, and certainly Sonny Liston, there was talk about him being a real mobster. This play doesn't get into that aspect of it. It sticks with really his trainers. Fred Stoner is another one, an African-American.
It did raise a lot of eyebrows, as I recall, and it was something that was quite different and new. But obviously the story worked out okay for everybody, including the investors, because he didn't do too poorly.
Right.
Sure.
Let me, before we go on, just make sure that everybody knows that these performances in this corner, Cassius Clay, February 12th through the 26th, Fridays and Saturdays only at 7:30 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m. Is that correct? Do I have
Friday,
that right?
Friday, Saturday at 7:30. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Sunday at 2.
Mm-hmm. At the Missouri History
at
Museum.
At the Missouri History Museum.
Which is an unusual place to put on a production like this, I would think.
Yes and no. Because this is a real story about a real-life civil rights hero, it's got a historic aspect to it. And we've also had a great relationship with the History Museum. That's a wonderful little theater, the Lee Theater. Mm-hmm. It seats about 330 people, so it's a very intimate space and a lovely theater. And our partnership with the History Museum has been great. And the play runs through the 28th. So
28th, I'm
yes,
sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. The school shows go till the 26th. Oh, actually, though, we've had to add two.
Two more, well, March 2nd and March 4th, right?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But well, those are student shows, but the public shows will go through February 28th.
We will be putting all of this information on our website.
That's
right. STLpublicradio.org. Just have a minute left. In terms of the challenges for staging in a relatively small area with all the boxing and everything,
right,
how tough a job is that?
It has been an interesting thing putting it together. But we have multimedia. We have video from the period. We have all kinds of things. It's amazing. 11 actors, a lot of moving parts, but comes together for one magical moment. So mm-hmm. we're very grateful to our friends at the History Museum for allowing us to take it on.
Well, as we say, we're all looking forward to seeing this and making it happen. My guest in studio, Trigny Morgan, the actor who plays Cassius Clay in the Metro Theater Company's production of In This Corner. Cassius Clay, Julia Flood is the artistic director for the Metro Theater Company. I want to thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations. I'm sure it's going to be a great event.
Thank you.
I can't wait
thank
to be
you.
A part of it. And I'll just advise everyone that the play times are going to be very prominent on our website at stlpublicradio.org.
Yeah, we're very excited.
Julia and Trigny, thanks so much
thank
for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at the history of soccer in St. Louis. We'll also talk with Illinois Congressman Rodney Davis. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/STL on air. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Kelly Moffitt, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Valita Brown, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Arts and culture programming on St. Louis on the Air is funded in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.